Let's talk about some lap-by-lap practice times. Start with the truck series. Now on my sheet, I'm looking at best overall average speed from every lap, and I missed a couple laps at the beginning of practice, so my numbers could be a little bit different than other people's, because it's kind of weird. I love that they're doing the... Well, see, at first I hated the idea of YouTube practices, because I wasn't going to be able to DVR them, but apparently... NASCAR is going to, well, they did. They loaded all the practices onto YouTube after practice, and you can watch them on YouTube at 2x, which is awesome. The thing that I don't like about the NASCAR.com live feed practices is that they don't cut to practice immediately. They're doing these stupid in-race, like a race hub type nonsense, and they're sitting there talking while practice is going on, and they cut into practice. They came to the second truck practice about 5 minutes late, so I missed some data, and they did the same thing for the Xfinity race. Well, now that I know, I'll make sure that you can't, like in the past, you could wait and, oh, it's on TV, so now I can get things rolling. Well, they go to practice late, so you have to basically look at your clock and say, all right, this is when practice is starting. So anyway, I missed some of the early lap times, but from what I'm looking at, Ben Rhodes, fastest overall on average laps, but he only ran 10 laps, and it looks more like he was doing qualifying runs anyway, so... Him showing up on top of the chart pretty much is meaningless. Whereas if you look at Kyle Busch, you can clearly see did like a 15 lap run. Actually, almost a lot more than 15 laps. Is it 20 lap run? This is kind of hard to do while I'm juggling a snoring monster. He did a 20 lap run and almost no fall off at all, which is pretty amazing in a truck. But and we talked about that before. The trucks don't have as much fall off on the tires. Anyway, so Kyle Busch is number one. And as I look at lap by lap, who would I put at second or third? And it's kind of close, but I'm really going to go with Harrison Burton on his last run. Looked really fast. Same thing with Todd Gilliland late. The last run out there, they were the second and third best cars, and they're pretty much neck and neck. So Kyle Busch Motorsports looks like they clearly have the best trucks. And then from there, I would probably put Matt Crafton fourth. You could split hairs, though. And then from that, I have pretty much a toss-up between Brett Moffitt and Johnny Sauter when I'm looking at the runs. Pretty identical. Maybe Sauter has a little bit more. They could, you know, argue even that they're right there with Crafton, but it's clearly Busch than the other Kyle Busch Motorsports cars. Maybe you could throw Stuart Friesen in there. His laps look pretty decent. Similar runs. And then from there, I mean, we're getting to the bottom of the top 10. I would probably, one guy is jumping off the chart, which actually surprises me, and I didn't think I was going to see, is Parker Kligerman. Parker Kligerman went on a 10-lap, well, not quite a 10-lap run, so you're going to see on the traditional stats, you're not going to be able to see a lot of these guys because they didn't go on 10-lap runs, but they went on 7, 8-lap runs. And Parker Kligerman looked pretty good. He got 10th place here last year. Chastain, I was expecting to see a little bit more out of him, but I don't know. He's probably about 14th, 15th fastest car. He's actually comparable to Anthony Alfredo. Chad Finley, we talked about before on the podcast, saying that he might be that value guy that we're looking for. And as I look at his lap times here, they're fine now. That doesn't mean he's a top 10 car. But I don't see, you know, I definitely can see him getting into the top 20. Now, he's probably more 20th than he is 10th. But at 5,300, us knowing not too much about him, but kind of liking what he did in the past. Remember, he finished 6th at Gateway yesterday. You might remember I had to fix the spreadsheet because I had the thing kind of mixed up. It was because I moved one of the columns and forgot to adjust something. But it's fixed now. It's fixed now. And when I look at these speeds, and in that Gateway race, I believe he ran around 13th the entire time. I wouldn't put it past him to run 13th at this intermediate track either. Looking at these speeds, they don't blow me away, but they're better than half the field. Now, he's nowhere near Kyle Busch, but, you know, he's comparable to Jesse Little. Grant Enfinger, when you look at his average speed, it actually kind of gets messed up. And same thing with Brendan Poole, because one of the things you got to be careful with if you're using my spreadsheet, $5, by the way, if you go to dfsnotes.com or racefortheprize.com, and you're just looking at average, one of the problems you can run into with average. Now, I kind of adjust for this a little bit, but not really. But let's say a driver goes on a really long run and they have a huge fall off. Their last 5 laps are just terrible. Well, and that's what we see here with Grant Enfinger. He stays out there with some really bad tires. So he has some really bad times that take his average way low. Same thing with Brendan Poole. If I look at average speed, they're around 18th and 19th. But if I were to throw out those last five laps, they would bounce up to around the top 10. And that makes sense for Unfinger, for Thor Motorsports. And I can't remember who Poole's with. Is Poole with Young? I can't remember off the top of my head. Little looks a little disappointing. Little was a top 10 car last year, or truck. I don't see it. Austin Wayne Self, I was expecting more from him. The laps just are not exciting. I mean, obviously, I'm reading his name after. I mean, he's below Corey Roper. Now, Roper didn't run very many laps, so it's not quite fair. I mean, because Roper's got one qualifying lap that's really bowing, balancing everybody else out. I need to work on words. And then you look at the bottom half, and it really just, you know, they are who we thought they were. One of the surprises, I guess, or maybe it's just my own foolishness, is that Natalie Decker, both practices, practice one, practice two, she does not have it. She is not ready. She is not prepared. Whatever, you know, maybe by halfway through the season, she'll get the trucks down, but we're not in the ARCA series anymore. And she's probably about a 25th to 30th place car at best. Everybody else at the bottom, I mean, you can just look. The car, the laps, just they're not going to magically find speed between now and tomorrow evening. It's just not going to happen. It's nothing but a sea of red on the lap-by-lap sheets. Basically, anyone I read before Austin Wayne Self, maybe they got a chance. But it looks pretty clear, looking at lap-by-lap, that I could probably have a good idea who the top 20 cars are. Give or take a couple people, I think I get it with some pretty good accuracy that the truck that you have in practice right now, that's pretty much what you're going to have in the race. Let's look at the Xfinity and see if I can see anything real quick that catches my eye. Now, one of the things that you want to make sure that you don't do, or you at least catch yourself doing, is a lot of times we rank practice. He's the first fastest in practice. He's the second fastest in practice. He's the third fastest in practice. We've talked about this before. We're using integers to separate everybody by an equal distance. So if I'm first and he's second and he's third, that separates every car by the exact same unit. And we know that the first place car is not one whole unit faster than the second place car, and the second place car isn't one whole unit faster than the third place car. There are differing degrees. The second and third place car could be really close, and the first place car could be way faster than the second place car. The speed will tell us that. And you can use the spreadsheet to look at the exact speed to see how much faster, how much separation. I mean, if you're thinking of it as on a bell curve, how far to one side or the other. I mean, people are not moving integer-wise. It's not a number line. It's not a plot line of 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm five spots faster than you. You got to make sure that you're careful, because one of the things you'll see on the practice sheets for the Xfinity series is that Chris Bell is the ninth fastest. So, oh man, he is nine spots slower than the first place car. Well, not really. He's pretty close. And when you look by the lap by lap, I would say that he might have the best car. But when you use this integer system that ranks cars based on their best lap or their best average laps, and then separates cars by whole numbers, it makes it appear that some people are better than they are and some drivers are worse than they are. So you always want to make sure that you're also looking at the actual speed numbers and saying, well, look, first place and 15th place are separated by a tenth of a second. So we shouldn't consider them really far apart. Be careful with that. A lot of times the color in your spreadsheet will help you out with that. And I think my computer just shut down on me. So that's probably going to be the end of this podcast. Well, I hate to leave you hanging about that like that for the Christopher Bell talk. But if you go to raceforthepride.com or dfsnets.com, you can look at the lap-by-lap and get it for your own. Well, one thing I will say, because I know off the top of my head, and I tweeted this to another guy about Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell used one set of tires the entire practice, and he went on something like a 30-lap run. That tells me they know what they're doing. They're prepared for long runs. Even that, now think about this. Christopher Bell was the ninth fastest on overall average laps, and he ran a 30-lap run. Other guys did two, three sets of tires. Rookies got on there. They got to go through a bunch of different sets of tires. Some people were out there doing qualifying runs. He did one 30-lap run. So there was definitely fall-off, and there wasn't a lot of fall-off, actually, but there was definitely fall-off. But still, he was the ninth fastest. If you're going on a 30-lap run and you feel comfortable, then you go on a 30 lap run. If you go out there like, let's go on a 30 lap run, and you're not feeling comfortable, you pull off and say, hey, we need to change this. If you don't pull off and need to make changes, if you don't need to adjust something, that tells me they got the car pretty much dialed in. I don't believe anyone else went on a 30 lap run. So you can look at the numbers and say, ooh, it looks like he's slow. Yeah, it looks like he's slow because they went on a long run in practice. Well, other people might have been doing qualifying. Other people might have been doing 7 lap runs. Other people were rookies changing tires. But this is one of the useful things of being able to look at this data. You don't have to make these assumptions or these inferences. You know exactly what happened. I can see big, long run. And it, you know, sets me at ease. And so it sets you at ease this time too, because I'm giving you that data and helping you out, but I don't know if I'm always going to throw this stuff out there. Well, I know I'm not, but this time I did. But you look at the other drivers too as well. Again, it's dfsnotes.com or raceforthepride.com. $5 for a spreadsheet. You can get all three this week for $12. Maybe you want to get March and Atlanta. That's $43. Seasonal package. I'm offering it, and some people are buying it. So send me an email, and I'll send you the price, and we'll set this whole thing up. And yeah, spreadsheet's looking good. I'm excited about where the podcast is going, and enjoy your Saturday of DFS. I might do one tomorrow night where I talk about Cup, because today's Cup practice really doesn't give us any information, and qualifying was as bizarre as we thought it was going to be. At least there wasn't any wrecks, but as we predicted, that qualifying would be a goofy mess, and it clearly was. Not as bizarre as it could have been, but still out there. Practice one early in the morning was just all single lap runs, no one in a pack. Saturday, business about to pick up. And I don't know if I'll record a podcast afterwards. I might, so you have to check out the iTunes, the Stitcher, the TuneIn Radio, your Amazon Alexa, whichever you want, and to see if there is a new podcast available. I'll talk about the Cup Series possibly. Llama Tramer is probably going to have something. I don't know if Phil does shows. I mean, there's plenty of shows out there for people that talk fantasy NASCAR. I'll see what I can do. Not really sure what I'm going to roll out tomorrow. At the very least, you can just check out the spreadsheet. Thanks, guys.